You know how they always say there's losers and there's winners in this world. I don't believe that. I don't think there's such thing as a loser or a winner. There's only choosers. And how you decide to choose, that determines your attitude, that determines your character. And like your trademark says, attitude is altitude, and it all depends on what you choose.
You're listening to the Nick Vujicic Podcast, the place where you will be coached in how to turn your obstacles into opportunities, inspired to dream big, and challenged to never give up. Now here's our host, New York Times best-selling author, speaker, and entrepreneur, Nick Vujicic.
Hi, everyone. Thank you for joining me here on the Nick Vujicic Podcast Show. I am so excited to have a dear friend of mine, Marie Cosgrove, joining me from Ohio today, where she will absolutely inspire you. Just when you think that things have come against you and you've got odds against you, how about being laid off a company in 2008 to then in 2 years from then come back and buy out the company that laid you off? I mean, come on, what a story. That's just the beginning of the incredible person who Marie is, her charisma and her tenacity for life. She'll join with me in a second, but I just wanted to first of all thank my friends and partners at Storyville Coffee. Thank you for making the world a better place and having us be a reason for someone else's freedom. That's right, everyone listening, if you've never heard of Storyville Coffee from Seattle, to me, the nectar of the caffeine haven. It's an incredible coffee that I've actually been drinking for several years. And yes, they donate towards organizations who are leading the charge against human trafficking worldwide and in Seattle, Washington. Thank you, Storyville. And if you want to have the Storyville coffee experience, go to storyville.com right now. Storyville.com/Nick for the promo. Yes, there is an opportunity to get 50% off right now your first shipment order, typing in my name at storyville.com/Nick to get your discount today. Let's today drink some more coffee, especially if you're a coffee snob. Let's make the world a better place while we're enjoying our cups of coffee. Thank you, Storyville. Everyone, here we go. I am so, so excited. You have no idea. I can't feel my hands. We got Marie Cosgrove. Hi, Marie.
Hi. I'm so honored to be here with you, Nick.
I love you, Marie. I will never forget the day we met was the 9th of June, 2018. And it was in Orange County and you came to the Attitude is Altitude Day Seminar. And when I hugged you and looked you in the eye, I'm thinking, whoa, talk about a mover, a shaker, and a woman who just gets it done. Marie, thank you for being a guest on my show here.
Oh, thank you. I'm really honored to be here with you.
I love you, Marie. Look, I do want everyone to know that I feel obviously the company that you run is in the medical practice right now and medical world. Tell us about, first of all, from your knowledge of the troops on the ground, the doctors, the nurses, what is really going on in the medical world here in America that may or may not be shared right now on American television?
Well, right now, it is also very tough for the medical world, for the clinicians and the nurses. I know we hear that they are so busy and overwhelmed. The reality is that a lot of our hospitals are empty. I'm in Ohio. We have 4,000 hospitals. I was talking to a nurse, and she said, I was laid off because we have no patients at all, and we don't even have one COVID patient. We're just waiting for a patient and I was laid off. I've got doctors telling me, neurologists and orthopedic surgeons, because we are no longer doing non-essential medical care. So patients with diabetes, for example, or patients that need hip replacement surgery, all of those are being put on hold because they were waiting, of course, for the big group of COVID patients that were going to overwhelm the hospitals, they were told to shut their doors. I've got audiologists, for example, they're the ones that treat patients for hearing loss, dizziness, balance disorders, because they study the vestibular system, but they've been asked to shut their doors. Dentists as well have asked to shut their doors to reserve masks and medical equipment for those with COVID. So the impact, financial impact, is huge. It's massive. You've got doctors that were, you know, making a very good income, the surgeons, the specialties. They have multiple homes sometimes. You know, they have their vacation home, they have their regular home, they have multiple cars. And all of a sudden, you know, this, you know, $1,200 or $2,000 check is not going to help them, because their house payment's much more than that. And when they don't have patients, they have no income coming in. So it's been incredibly tough for everybody. It doesn't matter whether you have, if you weren't working before COVID, if you were on a minimum wage job, or you're making $1 million a year, you are being impacted. So I know there are so many people being impacted, but I also know that there's hope, and that's the beauty of it. We know that there's hope, and we know that there are a lot of good things in spite of all of the tragedy that we see happening and the financial impact that we are all experiencing in the U.S. It's just incredible.
Well, thank you for sharing, Marie. You know, it is really sobering to hear that. And I think we are yet to see if the real effects of this. And are you hearing of any thoughts for the fall? We know that there is no cure yet for COVID-19. And I don't want to this will be the last thing about COVID-19 for me, but I'm so curious, from your perspective, from all the doctors that you know, is there a possibility that coronavirus could actually come back in the fall? And what does that look like in that realm for the, I mean, we can only predict what would happen, but what is the word on the street about the fall coming for America?
Okay, so what the doctors are being told, and it's different what the doctor's perspective is. So I'm going to share with you what they're being told is they feel that there's going to be a bigger wave of COVID patients in the fall. To be ready, it's going to be double. My doctors don't believe it, okay? And I'm talking to doctors in immunology. I'm talking to doctors in all different types of specialties. And what they're telling me is not in agreement. And they're showing me studies. And so I know this can go down a rabbit hole, so I really won't go too deep into it. But there's definitely, insecurity now, not knowing what direction our politicians are going to take us down, you know, where we're going to go. So that's what I'm hearing.
Yep. No surprise to know that everyone's got their own little take. And in the end, we don't know what we don't know. But may God bless all the doctors and nurses and keep on going. Thank you for being the heroes on the front line to those of you who are there. And Marie, thank you for your insight and your angle on this. Tell us how you first came into the medical field, on what level, and what got you into the medical world? Did you grow up thinking, I'm going to do this in my life? Tell us a little bit about Marie from the beginning there.
Well, I never grew up thinking I was going to be in medical. It was never my dream, not even sales. But how I got into it, I was working at a Fortune 500 company, managing a $600 million marketing budget. I came home early one day, unexpected, and I saw my kids had been beat pretty bad. And my husband at the time said, I didn't hit them. And I turned, and Justin, who you've met, Nick, he's 23 years old now, had blood running down his shorts. And I was just horrified. I grabbed them. I ran. I never looked back. I never went back to that job. I lost my job. I left my home. You know, this is a good six-figure paying job, car, everything. I just left it all. And I thought, you know, at least we're protected. At least they're not getting beat and they're not getting hurt. And I needed to do something to take care of my family, to support myself. I knew I could not get a job that paid me, that I worked 9 to 5, because I need to take care of my children. My oldest one had an autoimmune disease called JDMS. And at that time, it was really new. There was only one physician at that time. I'm almost 50 now. I was in my early 20s, okay? So long time ago. And the doctor that treated that condition, there was only one in Houston, Texas. So we had to fly there to get his treatments. And it was very expensive without the insurance. And I thought the only thing I could do would be sales, because I could do commission and I could make my own way. And I know I can do it. I applied everywhere for sales positions and everybody said, you have no experience. I said, oh, I manage a $600 million marketing budget. I can convince them how to spend their money. I surely can sell something. And nobody would give me a job. I finally convinced, I met someone through a doctor friend of mine. And she introduced me to someone in medical, and she says, I think you'd be great. You'd be a good fit to do marketing for them, but it was sales. And when I met them, they said, Marie, you have no experience in sales. You can't do this. And I said, look, let me go to your training. And if I do well in your training program, then I have the position. And if I don't do well, then I just go home. They said, fine, come. So I did the training program. And I did really well. I was excited. After the fifth day, I had 100 on all of the tests. So I'm like, yes, I got this job. And then the president of the organization was looking at me and he says, you know, some of you, you did well on the test, but this job still is not for you. Some of you just won't make it because it's a man's world. Well, I'm like the only woman in this room, and I'm not knocking that, you know, there's not opportunities for women. There are, because I wouldn't be where I am. But that's what he said. And when he was walking past me, I said, you were talking to me, weren't you? And he says, look, little girl, why don't you just go home and sell candy? That's all you're ever going to sell. And I said, look, give me 30 days straight commission. And if I do well, I've got the job. If I don't, tear up the contract. You have nothing to lose. So he just laughed and I went home and I was determined to prove him wrong. And when I got home, my grandfather, who helped raise me, was diagnosed with leukemia. So I went to the hospital every day. I didn't do any of the sales, and he passed away 3 weeks later. And when he passed away, I get a call from the president. He says, we're canceling your contract. You haven't sold anything. And I said, wait a minute, I've got 1 week left. And he says, you're not going to sell anything in a week. And this is like $35,000 to $40,000 pieces of equipment that I got started with. And I said, look, give me 1 week. Well, after that week, I went and I met my quota, not for 1 month, but for the next 6 months.
Wow.
I closed one doctor that had six offices, and I filled up his office with every one of his office with equipment. Unfortunately, that company lost it was a distribution company, and they lost their contract. They lost their contract with the company of the product that we were selling, the manufacturing company. So once that happened, they offered me to sell for them direct. And I couldn't do that because I had a contract, and the owner says, we'll sue you. Like, I can't get sued. I'm raising four kids. So I found Balance Back. And I contacted them and I said, hey, I've got experience in sales. And they looked at me and they're like, yeah, right. And I showed them what I had done and the connections I had made. They gave me an opportunity. And within a year, I became the number one national sales representative for them.
Congratulations. So,
thank you. I was really excited when I was in, I had sold Baylor, University of Baylor. I had sold University of Texas. So I was in Austin and one of the VPs said, I want to meet with you. So I said, sure. So I'm thinking that I'm going to get a promotion or, you know, maybe a partnership offer or stock option, something, because they were telling me I was doing a great job. So we meet. And I'm really excited. We're really, really proud of you. You got these two big accounts, and we're so proud of you. We're going to put you on salary. And I said, and I just looked at him, and then he showed me the offer. And what they were offering me was what I was making in a month. They wanted to pay me in a year. And I said, that's not acceptable. I said, I'm a single mom with four kids. I said, I'll stay how I am. I'm happy. Thank you very much. I'll just stay how I am. And they said, well, then you're fired. If you don't take this offer, you're fired because you don't have an education. You don't have a college degree. You're not an engineer. You're not a doctor. You shouldn't be making that kind of money. So you're fired and don't bother going back to the training for Baylor. That's it. Just don't go back. And I went from making a very good income to making zero.
Wow. And
single mom, I lost everything. So after that, I started another company.
Wait. I love that. I love just, and then it's okay. It's like, first of all, amazing. And I know you're a woman of faith. In that time of almost, would you say the two so far, what you've shared, two very dark, deep valleys. The first one you shared was out of the necessity, out of the circumstances for you, for your family. Mama Bear came out. You have beautiful, beautiful kids. And I love how much you love them and what you were ready to sacrifice and try and never give up. But now, I mean, how did you feel when they said that to you? How did it, was it just, because me, in the last 4 months, when I deal with change, some people think that I'm just strong and whatever, and that I don't experience panic at times, or I don't experience mental numbness at times. What process did you have to go through emotionally or spiritually or mentally that helped you to deal with the circumstances? What did you do? You must have been angry. What did you do with that? What, you know, I want to know in that room, let's stay in that room for a second. Tell us, how'd you feel? What'd you do? And then how'd you get back up?
It was painful. Excruciatingly painful. It hurts because I felt betrayed and I felt like they didn't appreciate what I had done and they didn't understand all the work that it took to help them get them where they needed to be, get the company growing. And they just saw it as it's about us. It's about us. Look at the money we're putting out. They didn't look at the bigger picture. That's how I felt. So I was very angry, but I had to process that and I had to have forgiveness. That's one of the things that my grandparents taught me as a life lesson. You forgive. Forgiveness doesn't mean you don't have the pain. It doesn't mean it doesn't go away. The pain is there, but it means you don't want revenge. You don't seek revenge. You don't seek tit for tat, or they did this to me, so I'm going to do that to them. So that's what forgiveness is. And I had to forgive because I remember speaking to some friends. They said, you can sue them. And this is in all these excuses. And I said, no, I'm not going to do that. I don't have time. I have four kids. I need to find a way to make money as soon as possible. I don't have time to waste and to sit in the bitterness. So as a woman of faith, as a Christian, I prayed and I asked God, take these feelings away from me, this pain that I have inside, take it away. Only you can do that. I can't do it myself. Take it away. And slowly God began to heal me. But it is a process because we're human and we are going to have pain. We're going to have tribulation. It's going to hurt. It's going to be painful, but it's going to be how we respond to that and how we handle it. And that, I think, was the key. And that is, I attribute that to my faith and my grandparents, because if it hadn't been for those teachings that they taught me growing up, I might have just, you know, lost it.
Incredible. Thank you for being so transparent, so true, so amazing. And how long was it then, Marie, where you, that was 2008, that you were let go of that company, you were fired. How long before you're like, okay, I'm going to be actually starting my own company? Like, how long was that process?
It wasn't very long. I immediately started contacting other people that I had met about selling products for them. And while I was doing that and talking to doctors, hey, dude, how can I help you? And they said, well, you know, there's this product. It doesn't exist. And I thought, well, maybe we can develop it together. We developed a team, 8 doctors, and we brought this product out to the market through FDA. I self-funded it through sales. We weren't rich. We were struggling. We were barely making ends meet. And all the funds that I would make during doing sales for other companies, I would put back into the business as an investment. And we did very, very well. That balance back heard about it and they said, hey, do you want to invest in our company and can you turn our company around? Because their company started going down when I left.
Wow. Wow. And you made the deal.
I made the deal after 6 months of negotiations when they said, do you want to invest? I flew to Ohio because I was living in Texas. And the accountant said, hey, Marie, look at their sales during this year. And I said, wow, they're incredible. And he says, well, you did like over 80% of those sales. That was you. And I looked and I said, oh, wow. I'm like, I want to buy the company. So, you know, we negotiated and 6 months later, I bought Balance back in 2010.
Congratulations, Marie. What an incredible success story. Wow. And you are doing all that you can. I know that we were talking off camera for your employees, for your team, holding the fort. And everyone's waiting to see what happens. But I just want to say, Marie, you're such an incredible leader for your family, leader in innovation, in one of the courageous leaders that I'll never say that I could do what you've done. There's just something very, very unique about everyone's story. And I love how you always give credit back to your faith and your family through this. And you just persevere. I think a lot of people who look at others with success really don't understand, don't envy. First of all, envy is bad. But the bottom line is when you want to do something significant, get ready for the challenges. And we'll get to that later about that. But talk to me first about your family now a little bit, how we connected, you and me. McAllen, Texas, you were born there. We did an event together recently there. You did this incredible stadium event for the young people there to give back to the city that you were from. I love leaders who never forget where they're from. They never forget those who are in need. We did a stadium during the day of thousands and thousands of students outdoor. I think 13,000 students outdoor with live streaming a Rise Above Bullying campaign with you and me and then other speakers during those days together. Marie, tell us as a mother in these days, what do we need to remind ourselves on in bringing value back into the next generation and your passion for the youth of America?
Well, I believe that family is everything. If you don't have a strong family, you can't have a good society, a good functioning society. So you have to have strong family as a mom. My children are the most important. And right now I'm homeschooling and it is tough. I have a 10-year-old and I have 4 adult children. So homeschooling has been tough, but it's been a blessing because I get to see the work that my son's doing. A lot of times when they go to school and they're in their homework and doing their assignments, we're not really that connected. So now we're connected. We get to talk about it. And that is really important. So family to me is huge. I've always wanted a perfect family because I came out of a very chaotic situation. I'm actually a product of rape. My mother was in a car accident. They were going to a wedding in Mexico and from McAllen, Texas to Mexico. And on the way over there, my grandfather was driving and it was raining and dark and in the evening. And he had an accident. It's called La Esquina del Diablo, or the devil's spine. And my mom's head was crushed. 24 hours later, they were rescued. At the hospital, the doctor said, there is no chance of recovery for her. She will be dead by evening. And my grandmother said, no, what's wrong? And they said, she's got bleeding in the brain. Well, you're going to do surgery to stop. And the doctor said, you can't. We don't have anyone skilled enough to do that. We have to bring a surgeon from another hospital. By the time he gets here, she'll be dead. And my grandmother insisted. And finally, they brought a surgeon in and they did the surgery. And she survived it, but she was in a coma for 3 months. And the doctor says, we're going to pull the plug. There's no sign of recovery. And my grandmother says, no, you're not. And my grandmother was a woman of faith, and she prayed and prayed. And she had a dream that her daughter would live. And so she held on to that dream. And she asked the doctor, just give me one more day. The very next day, my mom opened her eyes. And she learned how to walk, talk, how to do everything again. But she still had brain damage. And later, when she was back home during recovery, she went out with some friends and she was raped. And the doctor said, well, there's no way mentally, physically, she can carry this child. She's under 20 different medications. This child is definitely going to be born with birth defects. And so we've got to abort the child. For the child, you don't want to have a child like that. Having a child out of wedlock back in the 70s, that's going to bring shame upon the family, and she can't handle it anyway. And my mother, she says, God saved my life, and I'm not going to take this child away. I'm not going to take away the life of the child inside of me. And she says, no. And the doctor says, well, you don't know what you're talking about, and you've got, you know, mental illness. And they told my grandparents, you need a sign here to have this abortion done. And my grandmother said, no, I'm not going to sign. I will help her take care of this child. And the doctor says, you don't understand. You're too old. This child's going to have all kinds of disabilities because of the medications she's on. You're too old to take care of the child. Her mom can't take care of this child. And my grandmother said, I don't care how this child is born. I am not going to sign, and I will help take care of the child. And because of my grandmother's faith, and because my mom refused to blame me for what had happened to her and her faith, I'm here today. And I wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for my grandmother and my mom. And I'm really thankful. Actually, every day I'm alive, I am so thankful. Because I know just that one decision could have changed the whole trajectory of my life. And I have 5 kids, 3 grandkids, like generations are here because of that decision. And I'm just so thankful for that.
Amazing, amazing. Tell us about your passion for Balance Back and what you're doing now to invest in people, to help people understand that there is hope, understand that they don't have to go through their life alone.
Right. Well, with Balance Back, what we do is we manufacture a diagnostic device to help doctors diagnose when a patient has a head injury, like my mom had, for example, or you're playing football or something like that, you have a head injury. And one of the things we hear a lot about is concussion. But when you have a head injury, you're also impacted with your vestibular system. Everything's connected, your eyes, your ears, your central nervous system. So when you have an injury, the majority of the time, you're impacting your vestibular system. You have little crystals in your inner ear. They become dislocated. You lose your sense of balance. And so a lot of times they'll do a test, oh, you don't have a concussion, but they're not checking the vestibular system. And what we're finding is a lot of kids that they say, oh, they're ADHD or they've got ADD. It's actually a head injury that they had playing soccer, playing football, baseball, and they're not actually being diagnosed properly. So what we do is we work a lot with a lot of doctors that deal with accidents. So they check to see if they have a concussion, a problem with the central nervous system, traumatic brain injury, Meniere's, or vestibular disorders. And if they have a vestibular disorder, is it the left side or right side? Which canal is it in? So then in addition to the diagnostic portion, we manufacture a device for the treatment of it. So there's a 99% cure rate. And I wish we knew now what we knew back then when my mom had that accident, because you can totally rehabilitate a brain injury. What happens now is if you actually retrain the brain, now you may not be able to heal a certain part of the brain, but what happens is other parts of the brain compensate for the areas that were damaged. And so we're seeing patients that have MS, for example, that they're getting back to normal and having active lifestyle because we're retraining the brain. So the neurologists that we work with the top neurologist in the country, the top scientist, Dr. Frank Scarpino. He's our chief technology officer, and he invented the technology for the Predator, the F-15 and F-16. He works with the Air Force today, top secret projects. I hate it because he comes to the office, he says, you know what we're working on today? I'm like, what? Top secret, can't tell you. Like, oh. He's a professor emeritus at University of Dayton, and he heads up all of our engineering. And then we work with Dr. Gans. He's a research scientist for the American Academy of Neurology. He sits on the board of CNS. He's also a witness for FBI for medical cases and things of that nature. So these are the top doctors and scientists that actually started Balance Back that I still work with because they're so smart. You know, we need a good team, but that's the type of work that we do where we're basically providing physicians with the tools they need to help treat their patients and help patients have a better life.
It's amazing. Congratulations on all of that. Many people may not get to know a lot of your story, but one day I believe that you need to do a movie about your life because there are so many layers here where not only did you persevere through your own struggle, then you fought for your own children. Your mother fought for her life. Her mother fought for your mother's life. It's just an incredible full circle now to know as well that one of your sons has a challenge. And yet though at the other way, it's being compensated in so many giftings and unique talents with music. And I just want to say, I will never ever forget the story about your son being told that he can't do something in music. And here's Mama Bear Marie saying, you can do anything. And then even though he was told he can't and he never will, not only was a composition of his song recorded and done, but it was played on stage together in McAllen, Texas for thousands and thousands of people. And I just want to say, you are the real deal. From being someone of courage and faith for your own sake and challenges for your children and now the world. Talking about, I normally actually ask three questions at the end, but man, talk about obstacles turning into opportunities. I mean, to me, there's just so many layers. So thank you for persevering. Thank you for believing. I thank God for you. And I really wish you all the best with what you're doing right now. What's the next 10 years before we talk about the last three questions that I always give my guests? What's the next 10 years or 15 years in your mind? What are your hopes and what are your dreams?
Well, you know, I've shared this with you before. It's wherever God leads me. I don't know what the next 10 years looks like. Like 10 years ago or 12 years ago, if you asked me, I'm going to be CEO of Balance Back, I would have never pictured it. I would have never seen it. But what I always do is I always look at the opportunity. So whenever there's an obstacle, I always look, what is the opportunity? What can we do next? What are the opportunities? And look at life that way, because we always face challenges. We always face obstacles, but there's always faith. There's always hope. And there's always opportunity all the way around you. Even now, look at us, Nick. We have this opportunity to share across the world with this technology, which you're reaching more people than you ever have with your podcast. Where you do an event, what we had 13,000 kids, but you're doing a podcast, you reach millions more. So there's an opportunity, and we just need to look at the opportunities in life. And I think that makes a big difference.
I love it. So that was my second last question. What's your greatest obstacle that you've come across, if you could choose only one, what's the greatest obstacle that you've had that's brought the biggest opportunity in your life?
I guess it would be the one being fired from Balance Back, because I thought I was happy being a salesperson. I was happy. I was content. I was thrilled. I loved my job. And I never saw that I would be CEO of this organization. And then being let go, that was the biggest, you know, hit. And then that opened up the opportunity for me to come back and buy the company. So that would be it.
That's awesome. I love it. Marie, what are you most thankful for in your life?
I am most thankful for just being alive, just being here. My faith, definitely, I am thankful for that in my family.
Beautiful, beautiful. And lastly, if you only had three last hurrah things to tell our viewers and listeners, what would it be to encourage them?
Well, I would say that, you know how they always say there's losers and there's winners in this world. I don't believe that. I don't think there's such thing as a loser or a winner. There's only choosers. And how you decide to choose, that determines your attitude, that determines your character. And like your trademark says, attitude is altitude, and it all depends on what you choose. That's one.
Wow. Come on, number two.
Number two is be careful in what and who you put all your faith and trust in, because you don't know. Nick and I, we were talking earlier about, you know, setting goals. I used to always be told you got to set goals. And I'm like, I never been the type of person to set goals. And I remember taking a class on setting goals. This year, everybody asked me, what are your goals? You know, I don't have any goals. I'm just going to take it one day at a time because we don't know what's coming. And then coronavirus hit. And everybody that had all these goals and all these plans for the rest of the year, all shot. And we don't know. We don't know the future. We think we know. And it's okay to have, you know, plans and dreams, but don't put all your faith in that, because your world can be destroyed if it doesn't go as planned. And we don't know. We're not in full control. And I think this virus has taught us that we're not in full control.
Wow. I mean, that is profound. I've never heard anybody say that on a platform in an interview. And it's absolutely true. Incredible. Marie, third, what's the third thing?
I would say the third thing is walk through life with joy, faith, and happiness. Even if you don't see the evidence of it, even if everything seems dark, even if everything seems gloomy, you can still have joy and faith. And that just makes a whole difference. You have this peace in your heart, knowing everything's going to be okay. You're alive right now. You're okay. Be thankful for that we have this day, and let's be content in it.
I love it. Marie Cosgrove, you are a rock star of inspiration to the world. To everyone out there who seems like just, it feels like punch after punch is coming in your life and you're like, ah, I'm down, I'm out. I hope and we hope that this time with Marie has encouraged you to hold on to hope, to endure, to take one day at a time, to hold on to faith, family, and friends in this time. You will get through this. And she admits, no one really knows what the future holds. But as we remain joyful, as we hold on to the most important things in our life and understand those values and that perspective, you become unstoppable like Marie. You may not even feel it all the time, but Marie, with all of my heart, thank you for planting seeds of hope in people's lives today. Thank you for who you are, and thank you for being on the show.
Thank you so much. I'm so honored. Love you.
God bless. Bye-bye.
Hey guys, thank you so much for listening. Help us reach as many people as possible by giving us a rating, a review, and subscribing to this podcast. Love you so much. And remember, share this with anyone you know who needs to hear this as well. I'll see you next week.